With 182 days until the midterm elections, we're going to spend a lot of time today on the abortion issue. We're going to look at it from all angles. That plus a deeper dive into the Democrats' playbook on this episode of Dale Carter's America.
From the heart of flyover country, he's not on the far right, and he's certainly not on the far left. Like you, he's somewhere in the middle. This is Dale Carter's America.
First, a little news. New work begins today to save the historic decision that led to the legalization of abortion in America. This comes from our headlines here this morning. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer will start the process for Wednesday's vote to make Roe versus Wade a federal law. The move comes before the Supreme Court aims to overturn the case. We're going to dig into that a lot deeper on this episode of the podcast. Russia's leader says he had no choice but to invade Ukraine 10 weeks ago. No choice. Were they threatening him? Were they massing troops on the Russian border?
Well, I think his argument is that NATO has been advancing, you know, after they said they wouldn't, and they've been trying to bring Ukraine into NATO.
Okay. All right. There you go. You're taking the Russian side on this.
Well, that's his argument. I mean...
By the way, I'm Dale Carter. That's Kurt Wheeler. We didn't do the, you know, we're kind of in a hurry today. We got other things to do, and I'm just back from vacation in Florida.
Yep.
Do I look tan?
A little bit. What? Yeah. Did you have your, did you have your fill of Malibu and pineapple?
I did. I've discovered some other things I like as well. Very girly drinks.
But, not beer, not whiskey.
No judgment. No judgment. Police near Atlanta hunting for whoever opened fire on six people. There's no crime problem in this country. Three of the victims died, others in serious condition. All were shot last night at a condo complex. Investigators spent hours collecting evidence, interviewing witnesses, but no arrests have been made yet. Ah, here's a story for you. The White House is warning everyone to prepare for a new COVID surge.
Hey, it's
guess
about
when
time.
It's happening?
October.
Fall and winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100 million people could become infected. In fact, if you're even thinking about voting Republican in the midterm election, you are most at risk.
Well, I think the science shows, and we all know that we need to trust the science shows that a vote for a Republican actually spreads the virus. That's how you spread the virus, is voting for Republicans.
So if you're a Republican, stay home.
Yeah.
Don't vote.
Yeah.
That's right. The message from the administration and Dr. Fauci.
Right.
Did you watch the Kentucky Derby at all?
You know, actually, so I was gone this weekend too. I was in Virginia, and we were at a little pub, and they had it on the TV, and everyone was freaking out, and I didn't realize why, but yeah, there was a huge 80-1 odds or something like that.
Well, it says one of the biggest upsets in Kentucky Derby history, so there may have been a bigger upset, but this was a horse they weren't even sure was going to run in the Derby.
Right.
Yeah. And then was a last minute, okay, let's throw you in for the field.
Right.
Right.
I think there may have been one that dropped out and this horse got the nod or something like that.
80-1 odds. Rich Strike, the winner of the Kentucky Derby. Now the question becomes, I think if you win the Kentucky Derby, you are obligated to go on to the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes.
Mm-hmm.
We have to see if we get a Triple Crown winner or not.
Right.
Now, the chances are, does the magic repeat in the Preakness and the Belmont? Who knows? But I think you're obligated, don't you?
Yeah, are they not? I didn't know that.
They're kind of on the fence about it.
Oh, so not they don't know if they're going to run the horse in
not
the other two races. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that I'm still here, it's Monday and I'm still here, shows you that I, in fact, did not place a bet on Rich Strike for the Kentucky Derby, so...
Well, 80-1, depending on how much you put down, it could have been a big payoff.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
How
I'm
much
still
would
here.
You put down? I mean, I'm a $2 better at the horse track.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so that gets me $160. Not exactly going to be retirement money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, that's $160 you didn't have before. So,
I wrote down Dave Chappelle because while I was gone, you know, he got attacked on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that?
Not really. I mean... it's just kind of funny more than anything. I mean, obviously, it's not cool to assault somebody on stage. And I'm sure with everything going on with Dave Chappelle, him being in the news and people coming after him, he's probably got one of the best security teams in the world, you know. So
yeah.
They jumped on that dude like white on bread, beat the shit out of him, and threw him in an ambulance.
Be careful saying white on bread, because that might be a little bit racist. You don't want to...
Would it be better if I said black on bread?
Or rye or pumpernickel or something like that, I suppose. I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So then Chris Rock comes out and says, you know, was that Will Smith?
Yeah.
I mean, there were some funny things that happened along these lines. Yeah. Oh, well. So we'll move on. We want to say thank you and hi again to our good friend Bob Watson, State Farm agent. He listened to the first episode of the podcast that he was an official sponsor of. And here is his review.
Oh, boy.
You ready for his review?
Let's check it out.
Hi, Bob. Bob's a good friend. Really enjoyed the latest podcast. He wants us to know, because we asked the question, you know, can he be an insurance agent beyond Blue Springs? Because he's been in Blue Springs for a very long time, 48 years as an agent in Blue Springs. He says, also, I am licensed in Missouri and Kansas. I have clients in St. Louis, Jefferson City, Columbia, St. Joe, also in Salina, Hayes, and Goodland in Kansas, and all over Johnson County. He says, most of my clientele is Blue Springs, Lee's Summit, Independence, Grain Valley, and Oak Grove, but I can write anywhere in both states.
Wow. Hayes, that's a long ways out.
That is a long way out there. So if you're looking for an insurance guy, our guy, my guy, is Bob Watson. He's been my guy for like 27 years, and he's got Jake from State Farm. He's got Patrick Mahomes on the team, and surprisingly great rates.
Surprisingly great rates, yeah.
And I've got a way to tie Bob into the kicker at the end of the podcast. No, Bob, this did not happen to me, but it's a true story, and I would have called you had this happened to me.
I'm really liking this Bob Watson sponsorship, because we're going to get all of the juicy Dale stories from, you know, back in the day. So this is great.
All right. We move on to the elephant in the room, which is the abortion issue, which is obviously front and center now. Before we get to that, I wish my mother a happy Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. My mom was a teenage mom. She was 19 when she had me. And I've written some of this in my book, which was kind of cathartic. And I'm about 32 chapters into the book, so still a long way to write. But looking back at my own childhood and in conversations with my mom, she married a guy in the band, did it kind of to get back at her parents because they were very strict Catholics and all that. And my mother was 18 when she married my dad and immediately got pregnant. He was in a band, and she tells me that immediately he put pressure on her to have an abortion. Did the same thing with my brother 2 years later. So ultimately, that marriage did not work out. Big surprise, big shock. But on Mother's Day yesterday, I reached out and I wanted to thank my mom because as a teenage mom, she probably had a choice, right? Yeah. And her choice was to have me. And then when you think about that, when you drop a pebble in the water and all the extensions that come out of that, you know, four sons would not have been born had my mother made another choice. So far, four grandchildren, two boys and two girls, would not have been born without my mother. So without getting into a lot of the you know, the hyperbole and everybody's hair on fire, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to my mom for the choice that she made.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to extend that more broadly speaking, I mean, everyone who is engaging in this debate on abortion has the privilege of being born, or else we wouldn't be here to have the debates.
So. That was something Ronald Reagan said. I thought that was the greatest line to shut up the other side.
I think all of us should have a respect for innocent life. With regard to the freedom of the individual for choice with regard to abortion, there's one individual who's not being considered at all. That's the one who's being aborted. And I've noticed that everybody that is for abortion has already been born.
Yeah, this is big news. I mean, what's your take on the whole situation? I guess we should kind of break down what happened first. So
yeah, well, let's back up a little bit here. There was a draft opinion written by Justice Alito. Now, as I understand it, draft opinions are fast and furious among the justices, right? They share their thoughts. This is what I'm thinking about this. This is what I'm thinking about that. Doesn't mean that's going to be the ruling of the Supreme Court.
Right.
And because of the need for them to be able to have this kind of conversation, it's done in secret. It's done behind the wall. This is a very rare thing. I can't even think of another one where it's been leaked by someone within the walls of the Supreme Court, and now everyone's hair is on fire. So first of all, let's address that, because Chief Justice Roberts has, and he's upset about it.
Yeah, absolutely. As he should be. I mean, I think you're right that this has probably never happened before, certainly not with such a momentous decision as this. And, you can kind of, I've heard some breakdowns where you can kind of narrow it down to a certain group of people because it was likely one of the left-wing justices and one of their staffers that leaked this thing. So it's probably from a pool of like 12 to 16 potential people that did it. And so, yeah, they should be found and they should be, you know, prosecuted. I'm sure that this is a crime, but regardless of how criminal it is, it's very damaging to the precedent of the court and to society for this to be set where we can just leak stuff, you know, willy-nilly. I mean, we saw that not in the judiciary, but in the presidency under the Trump administration, there was always stuff being leaked.
Yeah.
And it's just not healthy for politics.
To play the other side of the coin, though, it could have come from a conservative justice's staff member for the reason of locking in the votes to basically overturn it. That's the other side of the coin.
Either way, it goes. I don't see that, though, because for the conservative justice, you would want to keep it under wraps, and then you would just want to release the opinion. Like, you wouldn't want to make any noise, because the more noise that you're making before the actual opinion comes out, the more chance that the more reactionary stuff there's going to be, and then the more chance that people have to change their minds, or, you know, now you have protesters showing up to the houses of the five justices. So I very much doubt that it was one of the conservative
staffers. Either way it goes, though, you would agree that, you know, it should be investigated, and no matter who did it,
they
should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because hair is on fire. There's no question about this.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth Warren is out there just, you know.
We have reached the culmination of what Republicans have been fighting for, angling for decades now, and we are going to fight back. I am angry because of who will pay the price for this. It will not be wealthy women. Wealthy women can get on an airplane. They can fly to another state. They can fly to another country. They can get the protection they need. This will fall on the poorest women in our country. This will fall on those who have been raped. This will fall on mothers who are already struggling to work three jobs to be able to support the children they have. Well, I am here because I am angry, and I am here because the United States Congress can change all of this.
The Democrats love this. They don't want to focus on anything other than this right now. This is their big rallying cry.
It's the new current thing.
Yeah.
They've shifted from BLM to COVID to Ukraine, and now it's abortion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, get back to the opinion itself, Roe versus Wade, because we did a whole episode on this a while back. And just from a technical rule of law kind of thing, I've always hated this particular opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take abortion out of it. I hate this opinion because it was overreached by the Supreme Court in the first place. And now we get back to the word penumbra. And it takes me back to college in constitutional law. Did you take constitutional law in college?
I think you asked me that last time you brought up this word, too. And I asked you what the word meant the last time, and I'm going to have to ask you what it means again this time.
Well, they use the word to kind of craft a right for abortion. And a penumbra is kind of like a shadow. Mm-hmm. And it's like the abortion issue fits under this shadow, and then we've created this right to privacy, which is not in the Constitution.
Right.
And that's how we have, you know, developed the right to an abortion. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I thought, said it best, and I'm sorry that she's not here to talk about this, because she said they went too far. They should have just basically said that the Texas law that was the case for Roe versus Wade was unconstitutional, and boom, that's the end of it.
The court had an easy target because the Texas law was the most extreme in the nation. Abortion could be had only if necessary to save the woman's life. Doesn't matter that her health would be ruined, that she was the victim of rape or incest. I thought Roe v. Wade was an easy case, and the Supreme Court could have held that most extreme law unconstitutional and put down its pen. Instead, the court wrote an opinion that made every abortion restriction in the country illegal in one fell swoop. And that was not the way that the court ordinarily operates.
Mm-hmm. That would have sent it back to state legislatures. They would have had the debate at the state level, and they would have crafted law. Some states would be more permissive with abortion. Other states might ban it completely.
Yeah.
But what the Supreme Court did was they created law, and they created code, and they created you can do this, you can do that, and they went way too far. And this thing has been brewing since, what, 1973?
Yep. That's when the opinion was, yeah.
Yeah. So would it be a big shock if it was overturned? Not at all.
No, I don't think so. And I mean, I think I've been clear about this, but I think that should be overturned, but both for the reasons that you mentioned, you know, the sort of procedural court reasons, and then also for the reason of abortion being immoral and the murder of an unborn baby, which we can get into. But, you know, and people have all kinds of misconceptions, and it's really interesting to see the hair on fire reaction that you're talking about. I mean, people are coming out, oh, it's the Handmaid's Tale. Eric Swalwell made a tweet where he said, you think they're going to stop at abortion? They're right. going to make interracial marriage illegal. They're going to, you know, do all this stuff.
I know,
it's so
crazy.
Ridiculous, man. Yeah. And it's like, people don't even understand that this just takes it back to the states, you know? And sure, there are going to be a lot of states, Missouri included, that will probably outright ban abortion. But then you're going to have other states like California and New York. They'll take it the other way, and they'll make it even more
partial birth abortion.
Yeah, I mean, yep. they'll have, you know, the baby comes out, and you can decide what you want to do with it. So,
and that is just crazy. And you know, there are a lot of moral implications that go with this. And I saw something this morning from the Jewish faith, and I didn't know this. Jews consider they don't consider a child until they are born. So the Jews, as I understand this story, would allow abortion all the way up to term.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a lot of different ways to do this. And I remember when John F. Kennedy was president, you know, there was a lot of misgivings about John F. Kennedy because he was the first Catholic president, mm-hmm. that he would follow the rule of the Pope rather than the laws of the country. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I wish Biden could clarify things because he's the second Catholic president, mm-hmm. that he would say the same thing. But he's not saying the same thing. You know, it's like we're a nation of laws, and whatever the law is, that's what the executive is going to have to uphold. And right now, Roe versus Wade is the law of the land, and a Catholic president could say that even though the Pope says that's not right, I'm upholding the law of the land. Now, will it be the law of the land? I don't know. The Democrats in the Senate, as we mentioned in the news update, they're out there as fast as they can trying to codify Roe versus Wade as a federal law.
Yeah.
Now, if you know what, and again, take abortion out of it, take the, you know, the moral implications out of it. If they could get enough Republicans to come aboard to where they could break the 60-vote filibuster, you know, it would become the law.
Well, I don't
think
they're
going
to. Yeah, I don't think they're going to. And we've said this before. We've talked about the Rhino Republicans, the weak Republicans. If there's one issue in my book that would be a total disqualifier, it would be this one.
Yeah.
If there are any Republican senators out there who are going to vote to enshrine Roe versus Wade, I mean, that's just it.
Well, they'd need 10 of them to break a filibuster.
I know.
And they're not going to do that.
But even if one does, they should be removed from the party as far as I'm concerned. But and, you know, you mentioned the president. It's true that the president, you know, is enforcing the law. The executive branch is supposed to be the enforcement arm of the federal government. But it's also true that the president is sort of a figurehead and takes a leadership role in this. You know, like you saw with Donald Trump, he was at the March for Life. He was very pro-life, you know, and even though he couldn't necessarily do anything like just with his pen and his phone to overturn the decision, he was still out there promoting the cause of pro-life and you know, certainly putting in justices who are leading us to the point that we're at now. And I think if this is overturned, which I hope that it is, then it's going to really enshrine Donald Trump as one of the best presidents that we've had in modern American history, just because of that alone, just because of getting those justices in there. That's huge. It's huge.
Well, you mentioned Swalwell saying that this is the first step and now interracial marriage is going to be illegal and yada, yada, yada. They're also saying that this means that we need to put four liberal justices on the court right now.
Right.
I mean, I have never seen a moment, and there have been a lot of hair on fire moments from Democrats. I've never seen their hair as on fire as it is right now.
Yeah, and it's just crazy, man, because it's for one of the most immoral things that we're doing in our country, if not the most immoral thing. I mean, this is my opinion. Not speaking for you, but I view abortion as American genocide. We've killed 62 million unborn babies since Roe versus Wade. I don't think that we have the capacity to morally hold a candle to any other society if we're going to continue to do that. And the fact that the left is coming out so vehemently in opposition to getting rid of that, it's like, why? Why are you so gung-ho on abortion to the point of birth? You know, it's like it's just this weird thing, you know, and I don't know where it comes from. I mean, I'm getting back into my faith a little bit. It's certainly not a religious thing. My pro-life stance has never had to do with religion at all. But viewing the opposition to it, it's very weird. It's like quasi-demonic, like child sacrifice type stuff. I mean, it's just really strange to me. I can't figure it out. So where, and these are the discussions that are going to take place, but where does life begin? Is it conception? I think that's the only reasonable place to land. I mean,
so, okay, let's break this down a little bit.
Yeah.
So a woman determines she's pregnant, misses a period, goes in, doctor mm-hmm. says you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. At that point, you would say there is no option for you other than having this child.
Pretty much. I mean, I think that people lose sight of they misuse the word choice, because the choice that you have is in the reproductive act, not in whether you want to choose to keep the baby or not. Like you've made a baby when you have intercourse and you and the sperm and the egg comes together. You have made a baby.
I'm a father of four. I think I get the math. Yeah.
But like that's where the choice happens.
Yeah, you know? I get that.
And listen, I'm not some moral arbiter. I'm not a perfect person. You know, thankfully I'm married now and, you know, I've never had to deal with this in my personal life, not to get too personal,
yeah.
But you know, I've made plenty of mistakes and I'm very fortunate that I didn't have to deal with that, because if I did, my life would look a lot different than it does right now.
Yeah.
But you know, you make those decisions and you have to live with the responsibility that comes with it. You have to live with the ramifications of your decisions.
Well, birth control is not 100%.
Yeah.
Other than abstinence, that's the only 100% birth control.
Yeah.
So if you had a daughter, I'm just going to put it on you. Mm-hmm. If you had a daughter and she was on the pill, the boy she was with was wearing a condom, they had sex, and a baby was formed, there would be no option in your family other than carrying that baby to term.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I obviously wouldn't want it to be some kind of forceful thing, but I'm hoping to teach my children, you know, to be responsible and to teach them the value of life.
All right.
You
know? So let's say she's raped.
Yeah. Well,
see, these are all uncomfortable
sure.
conversations
sure.
that need to be had now if Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned.
Well, the rape issue is interesting because it brings up like a whole other kind of philosophical quandary. Like, is it okay to punish another person for the wrongdoing of a third party in general? You know, like, we should punish
that.
We should punish the rapist. Like, kill the rapist. Don't kill the baby.
Right.
You know? Well, the baby has no say in the circumstance of their birth.
Yeah.
You know? It's just not it's not fair to the baby.
I just, you know, I hate the fact that, and you quoted the number of abortions, that it is clear that we're using abortion in this country as birth control after the fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll put it on myself. I have two granddaughters and four sons, but now I have girls in my family, two granddaughters. And if either of them had that circumstance, you know, and they weren't going to keep it, they didn't want to keep it, they didn't want to raise a baby, they didn't want to take that off ramp that you're talking about that you never had to take.
Yeah.
I mean, adoption is always an option.
For sure.
There's a long list of people out there. I mean, you know, the clinics are full of parents out there who are spending thousands of dollars on fertility treatments who would take that baby and love it and raise it as their own.
100%. 100%. And, you know, just to return to that other thing, too, I mean, there's so much that you can do to protect the baby. And it's not even like we need to completely ban abortion right away. I mean, my position the whole time has just been, we need to do something. We need to start moving the needle in the other direction.
Well, you know why it got to this point? Because all the way back to Reagan, and even before that, when Roe versus Wade was decided, the right has always said that their goal was to get rid of that thing. But the reason that I think we've gotten to this point is because the left has taken it so far.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, partial birth abortion, they're okay with when the baby's head comes out, a doctor sticking scissors into the back of its neck and killing it.
Yeah.
That's murder.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
so I mean, why we're here.
I think that applies to a broad majority of abortions. You know, I mean, it's not medical. It's not. Because there's complications in the pregnancy. It's because,
can't be that many if it were.
Yeah, it's not because of rape or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's because the woman or the father doesn't want the baby and they just get rid of it, you know, and that's just unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
And the left going into this midterm election in 182 days, they want you to believe that if Alito's draft opinion becomes the will of the Supreme Court, that immediately abortion in this country is illegal 100% of the time. And that's not true.
No, it's not true. I mean, maybe it'd be nice if it was, but that's just not what's going to happen. You know, this is the beginning of the fight, not the end of the fight.
Yeah,
that's the easiest way to put it.
So we'll continue to follow it. I did note that on Mother's Day yesterday was when these left-wing lunatics were going to justices' homes.
Yeah.
Doxing of Supreme Court justices. That's another step. I mean, do we really want to get to that point in this country where we're doing things like that? They were demonstrating at churches on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
As you guys want respect, we want respect too. I understand that.
Get out of here.
I do.
I understand.
I understand. We are with you. But there's more
respect. It's unbelievable. And that's where I get into, not to get, you know, too crazy with it or whatever, but that's where I get into the sort of weird, like, where is this coming from, you know, because it's so just evil, like, on its face, and I can't possibly understand it. And I want to say something else too before we move on, because, you know, the common retort from the left is, well, if you're not a woman, you can't possibly have an opinion on this, you know, men just shut up. That's like all over my Facebook feed, you know. Mm-hmm. It's men shut up, this is time for women to speak. Well, first of all, what is a woman? Because
now that's a great question. You know,
now
are you
have,
a biologist? You can't even determine
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Now we have, you know, the pregnant man emoji. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, the whole trans ideology thing going on. So what is a woman? And second of all, if you look at Roe versus Wade, it was decided by seven men. I believe seven white men. There might have been one person.
Thurgood Marshall was on that court.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. I don't remember. But
no women.
No women. So really? That's all I'll say.
All right. We'll continue to follow it. And I'm sure, like, as you said, this is the beginning, not the end. And there will be a lot of off ramps and a lot of hair on fire and a lot of fun video that we can put up as well. So We'll continue the discussion.
Yeah, the protesting and the rioting and stuff is going to get really bad, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, before that's a great time to talk about Funhouse Pizza, don't you think? Jim Dingman still looking for employees?
Yeah, yeah. If you're out there rioting and protesting against the Supreme Court decision, how about take that energy and use it somewhere productive by getting a job at Funhouse Pizza?
He's paying well.
Yeah, $13 an hour.
Yeah. So if you got a kid that's coming up, I mean, Memorial Day weekend, schools are going to be out. Mm-hmm. Kids are going to be looking for something to do this summer. It's a great summer job.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great job to, you know, pay for things while you're in college. I mean, I had several jobs when I was in college. I'm sure you did too.
Yep. Yep. I worked, like I mentioned before, I worked at restaurants and I didn't make close to $13 an hour. So yeah. It'd be nice to have a little bit of income that you can save up, you know, maybe even pay your own way through college or whatever you
want to
do.
Wow. What a thought.
I know, right?
You know, I thought you just got a loan and then hoped a Democrat would come along and waive it. Isn't that the way we do things now?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently.
Let's rack up as much debt as we can.
Yeah. Oh, don't remind me.
Yeah.
I'm
not
triggered.
Something Jim Dingman would do at Funhouse Pizza
No. In
Blue Springs or Lee Summit.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Great place to have a pizza, though. Take the family out with you and all that. If, of course, you've been born, you know, if you weren't one of the 60 million or whatever
that
turned into a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So let's do the deeper dive into the Democrats' playbook because we're 182 days out. First of all, I just think this is hysterical. And we've had a lot of fun with the videos at our Facebook page for Dale Carter's America. When we get the website going, we'll be able to do a lot more fun stuff like this. But the Disinformation Governance Board, I guess an arm of Homeland Security, And I don't know who this woman is who they've tapped to run it, but she's hysterical.
She's absolutely insane, is what she is.
Wandering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared bad intel from Ukraine, or when TikTok influencers say COVID can cause pain, they're laundering disinfo and we really should take note and not support their lies with our wallet, voice, or vote. Oh, information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origin seems likely less atrocious.
I mean, are these real?
Yeah.
I have to ask you the question. Are they real?
Yeah, they're real. I mean, that's not the only one. So we had a video of, if you're not familiar, go to our Facebook page and check it out. I think I posted it on Twitter as well, at Dale Carter's Amer on Twitter. But this woman is just, you know, off a rocker. She's singing all kinds of songs about disinformation and stuff like that. And there's other songs, too, that she's sung in the past that are, you know, not safe for work, I would say. But she's... it's very interesting.
I don't want the government deciding what is disinformation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine, just for a second, alternate universe, Donald Trump is still president, and he decides to have a disinformation governance board. What would MSNBC say? Would their hair be on?
The best disinformation board ever.
Well, that's what Trump would say.
Yeah.
But what would they say on the left?
Oh, they would be freaking the hell out.
Oh, my God. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah. They're instituting fascism. That's what it would come across
as. But because it's coming from the Democrats, I guess it's okay?
Yeah, well.
I'm not okay with either of them.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
Let me figure out what's true.
Of course. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's really the left that is pushing for censorship. You know, say what you want about Donald Trump or about the right, more broadly speaking. Very, very rarely do they ever push for censorship on social media or on TV or online or anywhere else, you know. And this is kind of, some people have pointed out, an extension of Obama, too, because there was a couple speeches that he made, and I'll try and find the clip and drop it here, but where he was saying that, you know, social media companies are pushing back on hate speech and,
right,
you know, violent disinformation and blah, 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 but that's not enough. We need to go further.
All we see is a constant feed of content where useful, factual information and happy diversions and cat videos flow alongside lies, conspiracy theories, junk science, quackery, white supremacist, racist tracts, misogynist screeds. And over time, we lose our capacity to distinguish between fact, opinion, and wholesale fiction. Tech platforms need to accept that they play a unique role in how we as a people and people around the world are consuming information, and that their decisions have an impact on every aspect of society. With that power comes accountability. And in democracies like ours, at least, the need for some democratic oversight. As citizens, we have to take it upon ourselves to become better consumers of news, looking at sources, thinking before we share, and teaching our kids to become critical thinkers who know how to evaluate sources and separate opinion from fact.
He also said the First Amendment's not absolute.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, technically...
I mean, it's not absolute.
Technically, that's true, but yeah. It's like whenever somebody says that, you know where they're coming from.
Right.
You know, that's just not something that you say, you know, willy-nilly. And it's all platitudes. I mean, again, I've said this so many times, but I'll say it again. The left is the master of language, and they have manipulated the language perfectly. You know, they've created these phrases like disinformation, like hate speech.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
I don't know. When you see something that says disinformation governance board.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
You know, they had Joseph Goebbels, who would have been perfect as the, you know, person who headed up the disinformation governance board. I don't want the government in this.
Yeah. It's the Ministry of Truth. It's Orwell, 1984.
Exactly.
Textbook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I look at this and I'm like, really? Am I living in the United States of America?
Yeah. We'll see how far it goes. I mean, it's just more reason to push back in the culture war and more reason to elect conservatives.
Lop off Bernie Sanders and AOC and that wing of the nutty party here. Let's talk about the 85% of America that is not on the loony left. Can you find anybody who would agree that this is the right thing to do? Are the Democrats really trying to run this thing into a pier? Because it would appear that with every decision they make, it's like they're almost trying to lose.
I would bet that most people might not know about it, or at least not be shown what this means. You know, they don't understand that this is like literal control of information and censorship. You know, people probably don't think about that. They're thinking about gas prices, Ukraine, you know, the broader stuff, now Roe v. Wade.
Mm.
And if you look at the way that Jen Psaki, who is now gone, by the way.
She's at MSNBC now. That's a perfect fit.
Yeah. And the administration, broadly speaking, has kind of spun this. You know, you had people bringing up questions like, oh, you know, isn't this problematic that you have a disinformation governance board? And they're like, oh no, it's no big deal, you know, just kind of glossing it over. It's very standard practice. We're just making sure that there's no violent calls to violence on social media, blah blah blah, which is obviously not true. So I think that probably for the majority of Democrat voters, it's not an issue to them, and it's not really on their radar. That's
all
what
right.
I guess.
But. Well, we'll keep watching this and any more fun videos we have with the new, I don't even know what her name is. She's like this scary-looking woman, though, who's doing these videos.
Jankowicz or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw this on Facebook, and I'm not going to swear that it's true, but it does bring up a good question. It's a picture of Clint Eastwood, so it's a quote attributed to him. I don't know if he made the quote or not, but the quote is, if you could reason with a Democrat, there wouldn't be any Democrats. Now, I don't know if Clint Eastwood said that or not, but it raises a great little talking point here for us. If you could reason with a Democrat, there wouldn't be any Democrats. I mean, think about what their core values are. The core values right now of the Democrat Party, they are spend as much money as you can print, hold your hand from cradle to grave. I mean, what else do they have?
Abortion.
Yeah.
Outsourcing American influence to globalist elites.
If you could take off your, you know, I'm a right-wing Republican nut job, which is what they think of us, what positive things are they promoting?
Well, I mean, I think to, I guess, steel man, if that's what you're asking me to do. I mean, I think that Democrats are looking at things like free health care, like student loan forgiveness, like climate change, and they're kind of following this idea that the Democrats care and are going to do something about these things, and that the Republicans are, you know, mean and racist, right, and all this stuff,
and have all the money. And, yeah, you know, at their core, it's like, you know, if we can only take some money from these rich, rich, rich guys and sprinkle it down to you,
yeah,
you know, life would be just perfect.
And it's interesting you mentioned the money thing, because that really has changed. And I think that's one of the more interesting shifts that has happened politically, because I'm sure, you know, maybe you can reflect on this, but like in decades previously, it seemed to be that way, where like the Republicans were the fat cat, you know, business owners and CEOs and things like that. And that seems to have really shifted. I mean, if you look at the political donations, you know, and just in terms of the monetary amount that is being donated from unions, from CEOs, from media types, there was a graph that I found last week that showed all of the major media networks, yeah, and the percentage of political donations. And it was like 95% Democrat, 80% Democrat, yeah, 92% Democrat. And so I think that it's really shifted in recent decades, maybe even in the last 10 years, where it's now like almost the reverse, where the Democrats are the Bill Gateses and the Jeff, yeah, Bezoses of the world, that are really pulling the strings in terms of the money. And the Republicans, I think, especially with Donald Trump, now have more of that kind of grassroots, blue-collar appeal that may have been belonged to the Democrats in decades previous.
Well, Democrats, they've been running that play forever, that somebody, yeah, else has something that you don't, and that's not fair. I mean, we've, yeah, talked about that from the Democrat playbook for a long time. Yeah. I just, you know, I've never been that way. I'm not wired that way. I'm not wired to worry about what somebody else has and, mm-hmm, I don't have it. And that's just not fair.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if anything, it should be, oh, like, look at this rich person. How did they do it? And how can I,
exactly,
how can I duplicate
where's,
that?
Where's the blueprint for that? There's also the liberal paradox. There's guilt involved there, that if you're a billionaire, you know, one of these big cat, fat cats, that, oh my gosh, I mean, I've got all this money and I feel really bad about it, right, so I'm going to give money to the Democrats.
Right. Yeah, maybe.
There's some of that.
There's some of that. I mean, there's...
And I always tell people like Bill Gates, if you feel like your taxes are too low, write a check to the Treasury. They'll, yeah, cash it.
Yeah. Well, Bill Gates is a whole different thing. I mean, he's on a whole nother level all on his own in terms of his stuff on depopulation and,
yeah,
weird vaccine shit.
But if you could reason
like
with the Democrats and you could tell them exactly what you just said, that, you know, here's a rich guy, and gosh, I mean, if you go to school and you work really hard, mm-hmm, you know, you can have a great life in this country.
Yeah.
You do not need to count on the federal government. If that were the case, we wouldn't be $30 trillion in debt.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that's what the Republicans should be doing. I mean, it's one of the downfalls of our messaging. And again, the left controls the language. They control the narrative. So we're playing on that field right now.
Well, let's hope that turns around. 182 days until the midterm. My friend Bob McNeil is a radio guy that I've known for a long time. He's been retired for some time. And he put something on Facebook I thought was awesome. The playbook for the Democrats for this election, it boils down to three things. January 6th, abortion, and MAGA equals terrorist. Rinse and repeat. Just keep saying that over and over and over again. Never mention inflation, gas prices, defund the police, the increasing crime rate, the open border, or the guy we're supposed to pretend is running the government.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's interesting, not to rehash the old topic, but we didn't really discuss the political ramifications of the whole Roe v. Wade leak. And if that actually ends up happening, you know, what's that going to look like for 2022? And it's interesting because I think the gut reaction is that it's good for Democrats and bad for Republicans because the Democrats can campaign on it. But I'm not sure if that's true. I mean, it's all about messaging. I think if the Republicans have good messaging, because a lot of the country is pro-life, you know, and they're just more quiet about it than the left is, you know. So I think whoever has the stronger messaging will win on that.
I thought Trump had a pretty good comment on that. He said he didn't think it would have any impact on the 2022 campaign, that people are where they are.
Right, right.
You know? And you're not going to convince somebody who's on the far left who believes in partial birth abortion, you're not going to convince them the pro-life stance,
yeah,
and vice versa.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And in that sense, maybe it's more about turnout than anything. You know, if the left can rile up their base enough based on this and tell people that it's the Handmaid's Tale and that, you know, they're coming for interracial marriage or whatever they're going to say. If they can rile up enough people, then maybe they will get a higher turnout, but we'll see.
James Carville over the weekend made some comments. By the way, just to backtrack here to the increasing crime rate, when I was in Florida for a week on vacation, I still keep track of what's going on here mm-hmm. in Kansas City, and there was at least a murder a day.
Yeah.
Just every day.
Yeah, there was two or three in one night in Westport, I think on Saturday or something yeah. like that.
I was worried about Thursday. You know, our morning folks who were coming in here. Ed Walker, who was in for me on the morning show. It's like, keep your head on a swivel when you come in here.
Yep.
So that's still going on. But James Carville, who was kind of like the whisperer to Bill Clinton, okay? He was Karl Rove to George W. Bush. Bill Clinton had James Carville. And really, I think, made him a better president after what happened in 1994. There is no saving the Biden presidency.
Yeah.
It is what it is, and we are counting down the days until we can get rid of that guy. And I think Democrats, a lot of them, feel the same way. But James Carville, he went on Fox News, and he said Democrats are stupid and are going to get their ass kicked in the midterms. I mean, he doesn't mince a lot of words. He says they're going to be focusing on pronouns and being vegan while the Republicans sweep up all these seats. They're wasting dollars in races that they cannot win. And you know, he's just very open about the suicide mission that apparently the Democrats are on.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hope he's right. I'm sure he doesn't hope he's right, but
no, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All that to be continued here as the big issues of the day are abortion and the deeper dive into the Democrat playbook. I want to wrap with this. My good friend, Bob Watson, Blue Springs, State Farm agent, my personal State Farm agent for 27 years. And I know there are days when he has been on the fence about whether he wanted to be my State Farm agent or not. Yeah, but, you know, we've had a good relationship right. over the years. He's a great guy. But if I had come home to this, Bob and I would be having a conversation. You know, I went on vacation, came back. My house was fine. Mm-hmm. The building's still standing. I had people watching over it in case anybody thought about doing anything nefarious.
Uh-huh.
But this California couple, they came home from their vacation, and I guess they left the doors open to their fireplace, and hundreds of birds invaded their house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you can imagine what they did. And we've talked about this before. I have a very real fear of birds. Going back to when I was a child,
yeah.
right? And you know, Jennifer and the other two women I've been married to and anybody I've been in a relationship with knows that very rarely do we eat outside if there are going to be birds around. A lot of birds in Florida, okay? And the women in my life have always known that they have to take point if there are going to be a lot of birds around.
Keep an umbrella in hand.
I can't deal with it. So my call would have been to Bob Watson, my State Farm agent, to deal with this. I don't know that I would have asked him to come and remove the birds, but there definitely would have been a homeowner's policy claim.
Yeah, no doubt.
I guarantee.
Hundreds of birds. That's crazy.
Hundreds of birds. They say it's the first time it's ever happened. In fact, I might even call my friend Chip Glennon at Glennon Real Estate Experts, who is not a sponsor of this podcast, so this is a freebie for Chip. I would call him and say, clean this shit up and sell this house. I'm never walking in here again.
They couldn't scrub it hard enough for you.
Absolutely not. And with that visual, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.